Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the show that brings you inspiring stories, meaningful conversations, and heartfelt insights from military spouses and significant others. It's been a while, but we are here to reconnect with you and continue our mission to share important military spouse stories and resources. As many of you know, it's been a challenging couple of years for me. Life took a very unexpected turn, and our son James was stillborn, and I had to take a step back to heal, grieve, and find my way through the storm. I am excited to bring this podcast back, and I have plans to make it even better than before. I had done a dozen or so interviews before we lost James. And since the guests and the content were so good, I can't not publish them. But for my mental health, I'm not going to edit them the same as I normally would. So please forgive any mistakes, any little weird things. But I am excited for you to hear these amazing military spouses. And then season two of the Waiting Warriors podcast will be coming shortly. Enjoy the interview.
Hey, Waiting Warriors out there. Welcome to the Waiting Warriors podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler. And this week, I'm like giddy excited because I'm sharing with you one of my best military spouse friends. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Hi.
Just like for one, there's going to be a lot of like funny giggling and it'll be great because that's just me and Erica. So Erica really does it all. She's like awesome. She has an Etsy shop with really cute clothes. And I got to get a belt. That was a random thing. But that was just like popped up in my head. I'm having like major ADHD this last week. But anyways, Etsy shop. She's a builder, voice teacher, has a beautiful voice herself. A mom of two really spunky, awesome girls. Her husband is a chaplain, and that's how we met each other. And they were in the reserves for 8 years and now active for 4. So many years of experience. There's like not even a long enough episode to tell your whole story of how you like your journey.
Survived.
Yeah. In the military, there's like, because it's always funny to hear some people's like, oh, we've just been yo-yoed so much and so much uncertainty. And it's like, yep, I know some people with similar stories like that, where they just think you're going one way and then you go another one and then it changes and then again. And it's been like that for like 4 years. Four.
Actually, so active duty has made it so we've stayed in one place longer than beforehand,
which
beforehand it was like every 2 years.
Yeah,
now it's like every 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So now you're really stable.
Yeah, it happens.
It's so funny because like so many civilians, because that was really similar for us. We moved every 18 months,
mm-hmm.
And we've been here for almost 3 years, and we're like, I don't know how to be in one spot.
You're like, oh, I have to keep these relationships going.
Yeah.
I have to learn how to be a friend.
That's new. So that actually kind of brings up the question and kind of topic I wanted to talk to you about is like, how do you figure out how you fit in all of the craziness, because there is so much craziness that you as in like all of us Waiting Warriors have, but what has that looked like? Has it just been like from smooth sailings for you guys? And it's always been like, oh, I know what my husband's doing and I know what I'm doing.
No. So I was actually thinking about that a lot this week, and I still don't know where I fit in. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning that, but yeah. I feel like the more we go through it, no, it doesn't get easier, but
I like how you're answering that though.
I know.
Because it's really honest though, because I don't know everybody that I've talked to about this, and it's been like people off the podcast, it's like I thought I knew how I fit in, and then something happened, and then I had to figure it out again. And it's like,
yeah,
well,
and like, so especially for us chaplains, mm-hmm. like, because you're chaplain spouse, we know exactly what our husband's doing, and we can tell people what he's doing, and we know the track that we're going to be on. Right. But then you're like, well, where do I fit in? Like, how do I fit in to that role? Mm-hmm. And
for the listeners, what she's meaning, we don't know who our husband's talking to and all that kind of stuff. That's not what it means. There's big confidentiality.
Yeah. We know
he's going to be a chaplain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not changing MOSs. It's not like, oh, is he going to be in command or is he going to be in this? Like, it's pretty. Yeah.
It's consistent.
Yeah.
He'll have different roles within that job.
Yeah.
But the main job stays the same. He's there to help people, to be a chaplain to them. Yeah. And so I think this has been my journey ever since we started, is trying to figure out, well, where do I fit? What do I do? Because my degree is in music, to be a music teacher. And right now it doesn't fit our life. Okay. It doesn't fit for what we want in our family. And then when you move every couple of years, it's really hard to get into the community and to get known, to be able to set up your studio, get in the school district and all that stuff. And so it's just like, well, that doesn't fit. So all of a sudden you have to change your wants and your dreams. And so that's kind of been the process, especially the last like 4 years when we started active duty, because all of a sudden he's done with school and now we're real kids with a real job. No more finals.
Yeah.
And so we've been afforded the ability for me to be a stay-at-home mom, which is awesome. But it also, it creates its challenges, especially when you've been a stay-at-home mom for 11 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's get out of the house. So hence my creation of a gazillion different jobs. Hence the Etsy shop. I just started a painting business.
Okay. That's a new one.
So painting someone's house right now, and then teaching students voice lessons when I'm at home. So I'm a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
That's what I've become. And I'm trying to find how I fit into this military lifestyle with being a spouse and trying to fit in with military spouses. A lot of advice that I've gotten, like in the beginning, is they're like, you know what? You don't have to be there 100% of the time. You don't have to be involved. You don't have to do X, Y, Z. Pretty much there's no expectation of you. And I don't like that advice. I don't like it because it's so big. It's like, no, you're not going to be a part of your husband's like job. Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't be a part of our husband's job, but I feel like in a chaplain role, you kind of have to be, at least just be a presence. We went through deployment last year. Well, I guess it ended last year, right before COVID. And during the deployment, I found that the more I got involved and volunteered, like with the FRGs, you're creating a family and you're creating that unit. And if you don't have that unit, you're never going to get in. You're never going to create connections between other military spouses. So for me, it's easiest to be involved. Mm-hmm. And that's how I can find myself and feel connected with other military spouses, mm-hmm. is by volunteering. But with COVID and a move,
yeah,
like, so we PCS'd during COVID, and we've been at our new station for 6 months now. Mm-hmm. I still know, like, hardly anyone. I've met a couple of people here and there, but mm-hmm. with kids at home and not being at school, I can't volunteer my time to do anything. So I'm not connected to anything or anyone. And I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. And so I would much rather be involved and mm-hmm. have a role to play to be able to find where I fit in as a spouse.
And isn't that interesting that it's like people are trying to say, like, don't stress out, don't put extra work on yourself. And it's like finding the balance of not putting extra work on yourself, but also that work, the fruit of that work is a family and is connection mm-hmm. and is exactly what you need to really be able to handle something crazy like a deployment.
Yeah.
But I think so many people are hesitant because it's like, oh, but I have so much on my plate because of the deployment. But then the way for a lot of people, for a lot of us, at least, obviously it's like totally dependent on everybody, but like,
yeah,
good way to get what you need for the hard thing is to do more, which seems ironic when you say it, like,
yeah,
why? Why is that?
I don't know.
It's a question I have when I get upstairs. I have a whole list of questions. A number of them, military spouse ones. But that's another question. So has it always felt like with the figuring out where you fit, has it always felt like, oh, this isn't right? Okay, well, like, just keeping on, not changing, but adapting and figuring out? Or have there been times where you felt comfortable and kind of in place, I guess?
So I think that's a good question. I feel like I'm constantly trying to figure it out. I'm constantly trying to figure it out here just because
it's so new. Yeah.
I've got nothing going on. But like our last duty station, I felt very comfortable towards the end. And, mm-hmm. but that's because I had created those connections and I created a tribe and a village around me. And so it was a lot easier to feel fit in and know what my role is within all of that. But that came at the end of 3 years.
Right.
So yeah. I think, I don't know. This is our second active duty station. And I'm starting to think like, maybe this is how it's going to be every time we PCS or move. It's just going to be like a whole new game changer of, okay, what's my role at this duty station? What value do I have to offer those around me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. It has to be really, really hard to have moved during the pandemic because like nobody actually has any solid advice for you.
No.
That's kind of the terrible thing. It's like all of the typical advice isn't applicable. It like you can get really, really creative about it,
mm-hmm.
but then there are some places like you're in Washington. Washington is as COVID shut down as you get.
Yes.
And like I'm pretty sure. Sorry if somebody lives somewhere else and they're like, oh no, it's worse here. But like from what I have heard, Washington is as COVID shut down as you get. And it's just like Jesus, take the wheel. Is that like Jesus, take the wheel?
No, that's how it's really felt like that. And I feel worse for my kids just because they've moved and they have no friends. And so the only friends they have right now are some kids that they've met at the neighborhood park. And so it's like, oh, we need some more options. So, yeah. And like, they're just now talking about hybrid, like school schedules. Yeah. So actually my youngest gets to start next week,
ooh,
which is good. And yeah, we're like,
let's do some parties.
she needs people.
Yeah.
She's our extrovert. And then the oldest, she was supposed to stay remote because our teacher was going to stay remote. Uh-huh. And she started like crying. She's like, no, mom, I just want to meet people. So I called, and today it got confirmed. She switched teachers. And so she's going hybrid in two weeks. So
there's that. The light
is coming close. You're slowly on the train to get there.
I'm fine with the slowness, but it would be nice to meet people.
Yeah.
And to get to know people.
Yeah. Does it feel like there's a light for you? Because I know, like, that's the kids. The kids get to then go meet.
Yeah. There is.
And we're laughing because it's hard, and that's what Erica and I do when it's loud.
So, like, our kids are now at the age where we've been experimenting of like leaving them home for like an hour or two by themselves. So I've had that escape to be able to go to the grocery store without kids. And it's like, okay, this is really nice. But when you leave them at home alone, there's still that like that fear of like, well, what if something happens? So even while you're at the store, you're getting a break or like a mental break. But it's also not a mental break because you're worried the whole time that something's going to burn down or some stranger's going to come to your house. So it'll be nice when they go to school. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry at school. I know that they'll come home alive. So
that's a good thought to have.
I like those thoughts.
Solid mom advice right there. Really good examples.
Boom.
We're really excited our kids are alive. But isn't that funny that like, that's the goal right now? That is and has been in multiple seasons of my life or motherhood life. Like where it's like legitimately my goal is that my kids are alive. If I fed them and then like hopefully we brushed our teeth once and we got a bath 4 to 7 days, you know, so we're hygiene, you know,
you're winning. Those are winning days.
That's when, And it's, but it's so interesting, like, because then it brings up the question, is that just survival mode or can you still be happy in that? And can you find joy in that?
That's a really good question. I think you can find joy in survival mode. Mm-hmm. But I think in order to find joy in survival mode, it has to be a conscious decision. Because I don't know. I feel those moments where it's just like, you know, things are too much. COVID is too much. Moving is too much. Deployments are too much. Separations are too much, you know. But I think if you make that conscious effort of, you know what, today's going to be a good day. If I've gotten out of bed and if I've made my bed and brushed my teeth, we are winning. Like, and I think you have to focus on those small wins in order to get to the big win. And if you're not looking for those little wins, it's going to be really hard to find joy in survival mode.
Yeah.
And I've fallen victim to drowning in survival mode, which I'm sure most military spouses have or first responder spouses. probably anybody in survival mode. But I think there's a lot of us who are just so bent on being strong and having themselves portrayed as strong that it's just, I think that's when you crack the most, is when you're not willing to let your guard down.
Yeah.
And let other people see your weaknesses and let them help you and, I don't know, serve you in those moments.
Yeah. Were you able to do that at the last duty station?
In the beginning, no. I made friends, which was good. And I had my tribe. So by the time deployment came, I had people I could rely on. But I did not call upon those people as much as I should have. Definitely did not call on people enough and wanted to seem strong and took on too many burdens and then fell apart, hit rock bottom, and then was like, well, got no lower to go. So then it was like a slap of humility in the face and you're like, okay, I need help. I need that village to come in and I need to learn how to say no.
That is so hard.
So hard.
Especially saying no is so hard when you're still like, you're trying to figure out where you fit. Yeah. Because there's the one, like, is something expected of me? But then there's also the, like, I want not a purpose, because being a mom and being a spouse is a purpose, but like, how do I word this correctly?
Oh, I know where you're going with this because I had this conversation yesterday.
just something that is, you know, for me sounds so cliche, but
it's true.
Yeah.
You need something to make you feel
your personality and your strengths and your-ness.
I need to feel like I'm being utilized or that I'm needed and I serve a purpose beyond cooking and cleaning.
Yeah.
I need something that fulfills more than just being a mom. And being a mom is great and being a stay-at-home mom is wonderful and I love it, but sometimes you need more.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
Yeah. Because we all want that place. And yet you tried to fit in too many places.
Yep.
Which is not accusatory, because I've done that and I'm willing to bet many other listeners have. But yeah, it's so interesting that, like, we need to find our place. We should find our place. But then we got to be like careful with it. And it's just this big roller coaster of up and down.
It's figuring out the boundaries and moving the boundaries and trying to stay in those boundaries.
And testing the waters and bringing
and all sorts of testing and uncomfortableness. And
But the end result was, You have these people, and even though you're not with these people right now, like, you have these people and you had those experiences with them that solidified you together in so many ways, but solidified you as a person in so many ways and taught you. And it's like, you know, we could be depressed all the time that we have to start over and we don't get to be with those people. But then we could just intentionally choose, like what you said.
Yeah.
To just look for the joy. And I'm going to say this. I wouldn't say this during anybody else's interview. But because I know Erica and I know that, like, she doesn't think she's as awesome as I know her to be. I specifically asked her how she finds joy in the survival mode, because I know so many things, but also because I've seen her over the years, and I love how they bring adventure into their life and humor into their life. Like, I'm like laughing so hard, like just the things that Erica and her husband do to like make each other laugh and make their kids laugh. And then they bless the world by sharing some of it with Facebook. And then I laugh like it's so, so good.
Oh gosh.
You guys are really good at like just being funny. Like, is that, yeah, that's the right word. Like, you're not, I don't know. Like, you're just able to joke with each other and turn, I mean, like, what was it? Like, your 30th birthday, Brandon made a rap video with the girls. And, like, it's like, okay, that's a birthday, and birthdays are awesome. But he brought so much, like, humor into it. So much awesomeness. And yet, like, I know that year for you guys was nuts. It was absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
He was like in his last, was it his last few months or just during the last year of his master's program?
Yeah, it was the last year.
Okay, so this master's program, if you've heard some of the other podcast interviews, Austin did the same one. That kind of a master's program normally takes people, they do it in like, what, like 5-6 years or something, like 4 to 6 years. This program does it in 23 months.
So, let me put a caveat in there, though.
I was going to say, plus you guys did the pre-stuff.
We were already in his grad program for 3 years.
Yeah.
Before we switched schools and moved and did another, like, 18 months or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And you're so almost what here. Should have been, like, what, a 90 credit? How many credits is it? Yeah. Was it 90? Yeah. His ended up being like 122 credits. Like, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that last 18 months was like, it's a really, really fast paced, intense, heavy workload. And you had your two kids and you had just so many other things. I'm not going to like list everything because that's. But like so many other things, and yet you guys were, you know, making funny videos for each other and making each other laugh, and you were going on adventures in the beautiful Utah wilderness. I love exploring Utah. But like that's something that I've observed is like a true skill and talent that I know I try to be better. But you guys are like my but I just appreciate that because I know you like you're just too humble and you don't see your awesomeness. But that's like I love how you guys do that. And I know especially like during the deployment it's still really hard, especially since he's not there. So it's like your part of crime that feeling is very real. But I just, that's something that I love of you guys is like just the laughter that you guys can have, even though life is absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Oh, thanks.
So there's your lesson, guys. Be funny, do a rap. Oh my goodness. I wish like we could share that. That was so funny. It was
awesome. It was pretty epic. Like,
it's like a mix of like Michael Scott when he does that. Like, you know, have you seen The Office?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like when Michael Scott and Dwight do that, whatever, Electric City, whatever thing. But like SNL and just actually really funny. Yes, so good. So good. There have been so many others, but yeah, that's like my takeaway from you guys is just like keep on laughing and crack some jokes.
We like to laugh.
Yeah.
We like to get the inner jogging.
The inner jogging?
It's a term. It is a legit term. And Brandon learned it during his master's program.
What does that mean? Please enlighten. What is the inner jogging?
Shoot, I don't even remember like who said it or what, but it's in one of his papers. But it's pretty much just like your inner jogging, like your
because you're laughing.
Your muscles and guts are moving around when you're laughing.
Okay, so I just googled it. This is super funny. Inner jogging. Laughter is the inner jogging. It's an instant vacation. So laughter is your inner jogging.
Yeah, and we like to run anyways, so we might as well make our insides.
Yeah, I thought that was like just some inside joke with you guys because you guys run.
No, it's a legit term.
It's a legit term. I was going to be making fun of you, and it's there on the internet.
It is there. The internet, everything's real. But inner jogging is real.
Inner jogging is real, which I guess it makes sense. Like you get endorphins released with both. Okay, I'll buy it. Does that mean that if I just laugh more, then I don't have to jog more?
Have you hit 30 yet?
No,
you're not. No, you still have to run.
You still have to run.
It goes downhill. Sorry.
For all you younger listeners, this is what you're really giving up a lot of hope. Lots.
Yeah.
But
so
that's
much.
Why I wanted to
pertinent advice.
Well, that's why I wanted you on the podcast because I knew you weren't going to BS it. Like you're not going to be like. Super great and awesome.
It's rainbows and sunshine all the time.
Yes, rainbows and sunshine because your kids are throwing glitter everywhere.
That one's like, true. That one is true. There's glitter everywhere. It's fine.
It's fine. It's all good.
It's normal.
This is awesome. I have like so many good golden nuggets from this. Okay, last question. What is your key to thriving that you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
It's multiple things. It's not just one thing. The first one is exercising every single day. The second one, have someone to talk to. And the third one is to have a project or lots of projects that are just yours that you get to complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if I have a lot of projects that I haven't been working on?
They'll get done eventually.
Okay.
That is my motto.
Okay.
Even ask Brandon. It may get done 3 years from now, but it will get done before we move again.
That's the goal. It'll get done before we move.
Okay. It always gets done before we move.
So we have like, what, 9 months left?
Yeah. Okay. You're good.
I think the ones I have I can do. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
I like those. Especially the project one because I don't think anybody's brought, like mentioned that with their key to thriving. But it is like, it's good to be creative.
That's me though. That's, my brain is moving 110% of the day. And if I don't get that creativity out, it's not good.
It's not pretty.
It has to come out. So,
Which I like because like some people that's not the case, but then there's maybe been some listener that's like, well, but there's something missing. And that's what you're missing. You're missing your project.
Yep.
Makes sense. And that's why we interview all sorts of people. If somebody wants to connect with you, say thank you, or just hear some of your good jokes, what's a good way for them to get up with you?
You can look me up on Instagram, but it is my business Instagram, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And we'll put a link. It's design
By Erica T.
Designed by Erica T. Yeah, we'll put the link in there.
It's real original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just a straight OG. It's okay.
So creative.
Okay, we are past our 15 bursts of laughter. I have been counting this.
Oh, one. Gosh. I lost count.
I was counting. She thought I was kidding. I was counting the whole time. I bet her at the beginning. We're closer to 20, so she wins the bet. But that's okay. But thank you, Erica, for coming on the show. Again, You know I love you, and I'm glad I got to share with you with all my waiting warriors. And guys, remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it has to be miserable. Thanks again, Erica.
Thank you.
Hey, waiting warriors. If you are in the middle of a deployment, heading into one, or shoot, you're just a military spouse who wants to like get ahead of the deployment game, I have created a free resource just for you. It's a PDF file called 3 Ways to Set Up Your Marriage for a Successful Deployment. It is 3 quick things that you can do with your spouse that I've done with mine that really helped us through our number of separations. If you're watching on YouTube, there will be a link just in the caption. You can go to my website, thewaitingwarriors.com, and there's a yellow link with it on the top right, or you can go to subscribepage.com/3, like the number 3, ways to set up your marriage for a successful deployment. Okay? There will be a link in the bio in the show notes if you need it. Go check that out. Please take care of yourself. Take care of your marriage. Be intentional and let me help you through this.